today that we know that Jesus is alive, he's risen from the dead, and he's given that life to us as well, and we say that forever we will be changed. But it will take a process, and it will take an encounter with the Lord and his truth. So I invite you to turn to John this morning and see that encounter, that life, to the heart that is so broken. And again, to see the process before us. John chapter 21, and we'll be reading from verse 15 to verse 23. John 21, 15 to 23. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrayed you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Lord, help us to follow you in obedience, in joy, and in the power of your life. So help us, Lord, to draw near. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I titled the lesson we learned together this morning, Resurrection Life for the Heart. And then I say, life renewed and love resurrected. Because I know that in my heart, as well as in the example we see here, and in the life of the church, resurrection is not just fact. It has to be transformation. Resurrection life must be evident. We rejoice and we sing on the truth of the resurrection of Christ, and we know that it is that life that is given to us. But as we look at Peter, and as we already read about him earlier in Mark, that Peter is going through this whole process, needing the help of the Lord, needing the true encounter with the Lord, needing the restoration, the resurrection of his own heart and love for the Lord. And we need to see that and follow that. Otherwise, it is just theory. It is just something we talk about and not true experience for us. And so we need to have true encounter with Jesus and his love. Resurrection must touch our own hearts, must show in our own heart, and that is what the Lord desires and what he offers to give. And so this morning we want to think about these things. And so there are 3 points that we want to track the text here. First, it is the heart to love Christ above all. The life renewed and love resurrected show up in the heart to love Christ above all. And then the heart to serve Christ for all. And then the heart to follow Christ in all. As you will see, that's how it the text Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" A heart to love Christ above all. And then again he said, "Tend my lambs, feed my sheep." It is a heart to serve Christ for all. And then he said, "You go whenever I lead you, follow me." And the heart to follow Christ in all. That's what we want to see, the transformation here. And we first note the question in the first point, that the heart to love Christ above all. Jesus asked the question when they had finished breakfast. He asked the question to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" what Jesus is bringing to focus, the central issue, the fundamental issue, is the issue of love for Him. It is the love for Christ that manifests the life that people receive, that Peter needs to receive here in the resurrection. But it's also the priority that He set again for Peter, and that do you love me be above all these, above more than these, above all else. And that is what we also want to take a look at. Love for Christ, priority of that love in our life in response to the truth of His resurrection and His salvation. But as we know, the story of the cross, the Passion Week, and also the resurrection story, that by this time Peter has a huge problem in his heart regarding relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to know where Peter is, his spiritual condition. He is at the crucial junction of his life, a critical change and decision. But his heart is full of turmoil, of fears and despondencies and doubts and dejection. Even though by the time of John 21 here, verse 14, just up there, it says this is now the third time that Jesus manifested the disciples after He was raised from the dead. Jesus met the disciples as a group. This is the third time. He also met Peter one-on-one. We learned that from 1 Corinthians 15. So this is, at this time, there is no doubt in their mind that Jesus has risen, that the fact of the resurrection, the proof of the resurrection, the evidence of the resurrection is so overwhelming, so real, that there is no doubt in their mind that Jesus has resurrected, that He is now alive. The certainty is there, but somehow, with all that certainty, their lives is kind of in flux. They behave in a strange way. They don't show the joy of resurrection. They don't celebrate. They are kind of, you know, depressed, and they are kind of lost. They're kind of wandering around. We just take a look at verse 1 of chapter 21, and we see that after these things, Jesus manifested Himself again, meaning He already showed them, came to them twice before. First, when they gathered together and Thomas wasn't there, and so He came back 8 days later, appeared before them, and now he said He manifests Himself again to them. And then Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the son of Zebedee, and two others, perhaps it's Andrew and Philip, of the disciples, were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will also go with you." And they went out, got to the boat, and they go fishing all night and caught nothing. Now this is a very strange reaction. Jesus said, as we read in Mark, "Go to Galilee and wait for me. Wait for me in the mountain, and I will come and appear to you and meet you." You know, He has an appointment for them with them. So that He can give them instructions. Peter went to Galilee, but he didn't go to the mountain. He went to the sea. He went to basically to back home, because when they say, when they get in the boat, it's the boat with, you know, the definite article saying that this is his own boat, the boat that he left before. Now he come back to that boat and he said, "I'm going fishing." Now you can feel what Peter is saying after that, and also see the reaction of the disciples when they say, "I'll go with you." You know, Peter is looking at his life and the 3 years he followed Jesus, and he said, "You know, I'm not really cut out to be a disciple of Christ. I'm just a bust as an apostle." You know, I mean, when it came down to a crisis, I bail out. I deny Christ on three occasions. You know, I did it with curses. And I can't keep my foot out of my mouth, and I say foolish things, and you know, maybe I should go back to do what I know best. That's just my own life, fishing. I know what to do with it. You know, maybe better. The Lord won't need me. He won't need a guy like me. He can't use me much. I'm damaged good. I deny Him. What's He gonna do? I mean, you know, yes, He called me back. I see Him alive. But the future is not for me. So I quit. I'm going back. And that is kind of his attitude. And remember, this is after the resurrection. This is not in between Friday and Sunday. This is 20 days after the resurrection. By this time, Jesus has had this much time to think about it, discuss about it, talk about it. Yet, the truth of the resurrection, the experience of the resurrection, has not reached his heart. And neither to the disciples that we see here. And so they depressed and they say, okay, we'll just go back to do what we are doing best. So Jesus now coming to them, coming to where they had left him, I guess, from the mountain, but now he come to the Sea of Tiberias and to meet them. But also, if you look at history, in three weeks, a big job coming up. In 3 weeks, there will be the birth of the church. In 3 weeks, there will be a brand new church in Jerusalem with 3,000 converts. And these people must lead that church. And now they are like this, in this condition. You know? And if anything, if any fast course, if anything that they must learn real quick in order to change where they are to where they ought to be, they must have it now. Otherwise, they cannot enter into that work. They are not prepared to lead the church era and the work of Christ. And so Jesus will bring to them the most crucial thing, the most important thing they must grasp. And you will see that he didn't ask about their faith. He said, you know, do you believe in the resurrection? I mean, it's there that they perhaps have faith. That he didn't ask, are you committed, you know, in 3 weeks? You better be committed because I'm going to give you the task that you must be totally committed to do. He didn't ask that. Did he? He didn't ask, are you prepared? He didn't ask that. He asked one question. And that's a crucial question that we must see. He asked, do you love me? Do you love me? And that's the question he brings to each one of us as well. And we see the process with Peter. That the fact of resurrection, the evidence of resurrection with Jesus there showing to them, still not be personalized. They have not received it for themselves. Peter has not. And now he has to, but the process is not, do you believe the fact? The process is not, do you commit to what you see? The main question is, knowing all that, do you love Jesus Christ? Now the reason for that, even though it is a simple question, do you love me, it is not very easy to answer. We can say it with words, Peter can say it with words, but his heart is in the condition that he knows there's nothing he can say. Maybe I'll just track with you real quick on the condition of his heart, how he got here from the first place, and why it is so hard for him to recover or to come in connection to the life of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And as we see this, we will say that unless we go the path of Peter and let the Lord restore and resurrect that love for us, we will remain in this place of Peter, even though everything is given to us as facts and evidence and as truth. Well, Peter leaves footprints as to the path that he traveled to the place when he denied Jesus, and also give footprint as to where he is right now with the heart that has died or has dried up and irresponsive to the truth that is given. Now, if you remember, you may want to turn back with me, but we're going to go very fast. And that is, he started out following Jesus, but one thing that does not make sense to him at all, and that is the cross. The cross of Christ does not make sense to him at all. When Christ said, I have to die on the cross, and after he has proclaimed that, Peter, what you proclaimed that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the foundation of truth. And on that truth and on that proclamation, I will build my church. But the path of building that church and the path to life is that I will die on the cross. And right away, Peter said no. Matthew 16 verse 21, Jesus talked about that, and Peter took him aside and began rebuking him, saying, never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. He said, no, there can be no cross. And Jesus said, Satan, he called Peter, Satan, you don't understand. You think as man, because he cannot accept the cross. After that, Jesus said, whoever follow me must take the cross. And Jesus, and Peter could not take the cross for Christ and could not take the cross for himself. But he's sure about his faith and his love for Christ. So he's very sure about himself. When Jesus talked about the persecution to come when he is taken away, Peter said, anybody run away, but not I. You know, that's written down in Luke 22, Mark 14. And he so believed in himself, he said, I will stand. He believed in himself. He could not take the cross. But then, underneath that, you begin to see that in the way he followed Christ, he was not watchful at all. He's not prayerful. He's not watchful. He's not deep. remember when he was taken into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, come and pray with me. And he went and prayed. And when he come back, what did he see? He was sleeping. But very interestingly, in Matthew 26:40 and in Mark 14:37, when Jesus came back and saw the three of them sleeping, he only woke Peter up. He only talked to Peter. He said he spoke to Peter in Matthew 26:40 and in 14:37, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He singled Peter out. I mean, Peter represents the rest, but something with Peter that Jesus is saying, Peter, you're not watchful. You need to do this. But he was brave when it comes to, something to react to. When they come and get Jesus, if you read Scripture, they brought the Roman cohort with the 600 men. Okay, and all the guards from the temple. So they brought hundreds and hundreds of soldiers to arrest Jesus. And when they came and surprised Peter, guess what he did? He drew the cross, the sword out, and went out by himself and chopped off one guy's ear. Remember that? A brave guy, you know. and the last act of Jesus' miracle was that he has to heal this man. And Jesus said to Peter, put away the sword. Don't you know I need to drink the cup my Father gives? Now, Peter didn't understand the cup or the cross. He followed Christ. He's reactive. He has zeal without knowledge. And then you see something else is shifting underneath. He followed Christ from a distance. When Christ is arrested and brought to the house of the high priest, he followed. That is courage. But he followed from the distance. And when he got to the gate, he couldn't get in. John came out and brought him in. And very interestingly, he didn't follow John and go with John to see Jesus. He kind of parted out and went and warmed his hands among the people. And he kept a distance from Christ. And that is where he denied Christ. There's a path of something shifting, something shallow, something self-focused, something is not quite altogether in his heart as he followed Christ. And that is when the pressure come, he denied Christ. He said, I don't know him 3 times. But he repented. You know, he cried out in remorse. But there again, the path back to life, he cannot process himself. He know Christ has reason. He know the fact. He know the truth. He met Christ personally. He met Christ twice when Christ appeared to all the disciples. And now he said, I'm going home. I quit. You know, I'm not cut out for this. And that is why we need to come back and see the resurrection. Because I fear that it is not Peter that we're talking about as the third person this morning. We put each one of us there and our name there, and we know that we ourselves do not like the cross. We deny the cross when it said, you know, take the cross and go and follow me. And we fear the pain, we fear the shame, we fear the loss that the cross represents, and we say to Christ, no Christ. You know, I follow you, but no cross. And that is also our attitude. But we think we stand, right? We think we stand, we think we're strong. How about our prayer life? How about our prayer life? Are we watchful? Or Christ will call us out, say, you do a lot of things, Peter. But I don't see you pray. I don't see you stay up with me for 1 hour at the time, a crucial time. You know, so something there is also our heart. And then we are more into doing than knowing, and we follow Christ from the distance. And so maybe we do not deny Him outright, but we kind of ashamed of Him when our friends ask us, or when we feel so such a hesitant to share His name. And therefore, this morning we stand at the resurrection of Christ. Our heart must be resurrected as well and renewed. And here is the process. Jesus asked Simon. He started with that, and I think that hurts. You know why it hurts? Because Jesus came back to the old Simon. When Simon followed Christ, his name was changed. To what? Peter. Who changed his name? Christ. Right? He wasn't Simon anymore. Now Jesus said, as long as you follow me, you're my disciple, you'll be Peter. You know, and here's the new relationship. And now, because he has fallen so much to the back, he behaved like the old Simon. So Jesus had to start where he is. And he called out, Simon, you have fallen to this point. You need to start where you are. You need to realize your true condition. You can't just go in a daze like this. You cannot just follow me like this. Start where you are right now with me, Simon. Stop where you are and look into your heart. Do you love me? And so this morning, again, we call out your name and my name, Tree, or Darian, or Long, or just whatever name that we hear, and put your name there and say, stop where you are, and I need you to look into your heart and answer this one very simple and very important question. Do you love me? And that's the question we must hear this morning, because if we don't answer that question, we will continue in our condition. Days in, day out, weeks in, weeks out, in church, out church, and many things, and we will never be able to grab hold of this powerful life that Jesus has given to us in His resurrection. And he asked a question, do you love me more than this? I think he will, you know, I think he looked around, he waved his hand and he showed, you know, you going back to your life now, Peter? You going back to the things you love most? Right? The things that you think you're good at and you're comfortable with, you know, and you have success before. You kind of put that aside for a time to follow me, but it didn't work out in your mind, right? It wasn't worth your time. Cut out for that, now you're going back. Now I want you to make the choice again. I want you to answer again that do you love me more than that? More all of these things. And maybe all your friends, maybe he include all the people, the friends that go fishing with him, and maybe his hand stop at himself. Peter, do you love me more than yourself, more than all these things? And he used this word, as you know, this is a section where he used the word agape or agapeo to say that, Peter, do you love me with the greatest kind of love, the most noble, the divine kind of the love. The love that you receive from God, you know? Do you love me with the utmost, highest love? And that's also the question that Jesus asked us today. The true love, do you truly love me? NIV translate with that, do you truly love me? And Peter knew that he couldn't say yes. He couldn't say yes to that. He know his heart. That he couldn't say, yes, I love you with the true love. I love you utmost. I love you more than all these things. So he answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. But he didn't use that same word. He used the word, I like you. I like you a lot. But love you, I don't. I do have some affection for you, Lord. And that's all I have. You know, that's where he actually looked into his heart and he said, I'm going to die for you. Everybody's going to run away, but I love you so much. I'll die for you. I'll lay down my life for you. I will not abandon you. Now he looked at that claim and he said, it wasn't true. I didn't love him like that. And he looked at all the claims, all the things that he put in his life, and he said, no, it's not true. But this much is true. I do have affection. I do have some level. I do have some human love for Christ. And I'm going to offer up and say, Lord, you know I love you. I like you a lot. This morning, I also want us to start there. Because sometimes we hear about love in Christ and agape and love the utmost and respond to God, and we say, you know, I'm not there. I'm not that kind of Christian. I'm struggling. I'm resurrection life. I understand that, but I don't feel that. Jesus says, start where you are. I want to hear where you are. I want to know where you are. I want you to offer up to me where you are. Because after Peter said, this is how much I love you. It's not the love that you expect. It's not the love that I should have for you. But it's all I can gather up right now, Lord. It is just phileo. It is just affection to you. And Jesus said, I'll take that. He said, I'll take that. So Jesus said to him, tend my lamb. Start there and follow me. Just start where you are right now and enter to my work. I recommission you now on the basis, not agape, not your commitment to me, not the greatest that you can offer. I'll commission you right now where you are. Just say you have devotion to me. So Jesus accepted him at that level, and he restored him at that level. Now Peter denied Christ 3 times, right? So sometimes people say, well, Jesus kind of pressed the point and make him answer 3 times just to remind him that he denied 3 times. But I say on the contrary, the guy fallen so deep, the guy fallen so hard, it's all broken everywhere. Jesus has to restore him every step that he's taken away. He ran away so far, he has to run all the way back. He has to be brought back that far. So Jesus went back again and say, let me pull you one more time. Peter, the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he reminded Peter, you ought to love me this much. I know you're not, you just told me not, but remember, you ought to love me with agape love. You ought to love me with the utmost in your heart. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo. I can't love you. I can only travel this much with you. And Jesus said, I'll take you there too. I'll take you there right again. Shepherd my sheep. And then the third point, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? Now, Peter would have rejoiced and said, thank you, Lord, for giving me the not only the second chance, but the third chance. Thank you for bringing me back. But he grieved because Jesus now is bringing the love that he said, you know, I have affection for you. And Jesus said, do you really? You just claim that you have affection for me. But you know, Peter, you look into your life won't reflect that. Your work won't reflect that. Even the things you think you have, Peter, if you really look at it again, really, do you really have affection for me? And the answer is, even so, even at that level, Peter is not perfect in his affection for Christ. Jesus brought into question even the low level that Peter offered. He said, even so, Peter, look again. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know in my heart. I cannot show you in my works. I cannot show you in my life. There's nothing in me that I can show you here, my affection for you. You got to look very deep down inside. All the brokenness, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the failures, you got to look real deep inside, Lord. But when you look, you will see token of affection for you. It is there. It's not perfect. I cannot offer you. I cannot prove it to you. But it is there. And Jesus said, I'll take it there as well. I'll take just a little piece of it. I'll take the imperfection of just your affection for me. Even so, I'll take you there. You see, that is where Peter needs to understand. Peter needs to understand that it is not his love that makes a difference. It is not his effort. It is not the thing that he proved to Christ. It is not whatever he can offer, but it is what Christ has chosen to take from him and make something out of him. So this morning, let me ask again that question. Do you love Christ? And some of us this morning don't even pay attention to that question as I pose to you. And you need to, and you need to understand. But wherever that is, wherever we are, we say, this is where I am. And the Lord said, tend my sheep. So the priority, the heart to love Christ above all, the answer to the Lord this morning is, Lord, we can't love you above all. We do not love you above all. We want to, we desire to, we know we ought to, but we can't. We don't have it in us. And Jesus said, I'll start where you are. You offer what you have to me. I'll take it. I'll use it. I'll bring you back to me. So offer that up to the Lord. Say to him, Lord, if you look into my life in all the mess and all the things, you won't see agape love. You don't see even phileo in its completeness. But you know that I belong to you. Take me from where I am, because I need to get back with you. I need to be restored to you. I need this resurrection life. Say it so to the Lord, and he will say to you, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. And so go to the next point, and that is the heart to serve Christ for all. Now, you say, serve Christ? I guess that's what Peter said, serve Christ? I mean, I fail like so spectacular, nobody fail like me. You know, everybody remember Peter. What do they remember? They remember the guy who denied the Lord. What do they remember about me? They remember that I curse heaven and earth and say I don't know the Lord. That's what they remember. They remember me with my foot in my mouth. What do they remember me? I can't serve the Lord. But that's the point, that Jesus never expected us to have all the love, all the perfection, everything before we begin to serve him. He called us to serve him where we are. And so just go back to the affirmation that Jesus here. And I say for all because Jesus point out different aspects of that service, different levels and different groups, you know, the lambs and the sheep and, you know, the mature sheep. And tell us, start there with me. Do you love me more than these, Simon Peter? No, Lord, not with that love, not as you expect. I do have some affection for you. I do have some love for you. And Jesus said, okay, start there and tend my lambs. You know, the little lambs, small lambs, the babies. He said, you know, start where you are, but don't start where you are and just say you love me at that level. You start where you are and serve me in that capacity. Come and serve me. Come and offer yourself at that level and tend my sheep. Meaning, you whatever love you have for me, Peter, you carry it out not by words. You carry it out not by emotion. You carry it out not just by wishing for something else. You carry it out by serving me, by doing something, by entering yourself and giving yourself at that level to my work. Because nobody say I love the Lord without serving the Lord. I mean, that's just impossible. You know, you can say whatever you want, but that is not true. It's only true when you serve. Only true when that statement, that expression is given in the true given to of yourself to the Lord. He said, I'm not expecting perfection, but I do expect reality. Tend my lambs. Maybe that's where we should start. You know, the younger ones. Maybe you don't have ability to teach or to say great things, but hey, start in nursery. You know, start in toddler. Start in with CM. Be a part here and there. You know, begin to give yourself to the work and enter into the service, because only there that the process of development of the heart can happen. And he said that feed, you know, tend, and then he said feed the sheep, feed the lamb. It is the giving of care and constant feeding and taking care of by the word, by the truth. Keep on serving. Then the next one he said, Simon, do you love me? Remember, you need to love me at this level. Do you love me? And Peter said, no, Lord, I can't get there. But you know that I love you. And he said, shepherd my sheep. And this is where he said, feed, guide. But he used the term of keep on going, keep on doing it. You know, just something that you start out with them as a lamb. Well, keep on doing it, keep on doing it. And some of us, you know, that's what you need to hear right now. You know, I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like I can do anything. He said, keep on serving. What do I have to give? Keep on doing. Keep on moving in that, because when you do, the light will come. You will come near. You will be transformed. And you will walk with the Lord in the work, in fellowship, and in service, and also with His people. So connect there, serve on, continue with Him. Keep on service. And then he said the next one, well, let's face reality. Yes, you don't love me. You don't love me as you should. But even when you have just a little bit of phileo, just a little bit of affection to me, I expect you to also serve me there. But do you really have some affection for me? You know, that's the question. He lowers to the point and he asks, do you just have some affection for me? And Peter said, yes. He said, then serve. This morning he will ask us the same thing. He asked us, you know, not agape, I know you're not there. I asked, and you know you're not there. But do you have just some affection for me? Is there a reality of relationship in your life for me? And if any of us say yes, he will say, then serve. So simple there, but you know, that is when, you know, I see people pop in and out of ministry as if they're changing shirt. Not so many here in the church, but there's some that we need to hear this. If you like me, if you have some affection for me, you will live it out. You don't just sit there and talk about it. You don't just sit there and dream about it and talk about intention for tomorrow when you are stronger and better and you know, more gifted and discover more opportunity. You live out your love for me now, where you are. And so maybe I should call each one of us to really think about that, right? So if, like I said, if you have a little bit of love for Jesus Christ, some affection for Him, maybe not perfect, then I do expect to see you in ministry service, right? I do expect you to show up in nursery or toddler. I do expect to see you when the roof leaks. I expect to see you up there and fixing the roof of His house. Or when you see the church present a red bar in the financial picture, I expect you to write the check. Do you like Jesus just a little bit? Then I expect to see you in life group then. You know, maybe not for your own need or your own growth, but to care for the other people in the group. Give something there if you care a little bit about Jesus, right? That's what he said. I do expect you to show up in convalescent then. I mean, not everywhere at the same time, but some of us here and there and help push the elderly out so in the wheelchair so that they can join the service. If you care a little bit about Jesus, would you do that? How about turn off the lights when you leave? Or take out the trash. Maybe if you love Jesus a little bit, you think about His house. Show up, you know, if some teens need a ride, you don't say, okay, find somebody else. Would you take your car and go out and pick that person up and say, because I care a little bit about Jesus, I will give my life at this point and I will go do this. And maybe, you know, when we're dreaming about the English segment and a ministry that God given to us to go out to the community, just like the convalescent ministry out there. Maybe we go to a prison, you know, prison ministry, serving people. Maybe I expect the college group, the YAM, the young family, to begin to pray with me on that. And not to say, hey, who cares about people out there? If you care and have some affection for Jesus, maybe we should answer like Peter. I have something, Lord, to offer, so imperfect. And Jesus said, I'll take that. But you walk with me where you are. So serve, because otherwise nobody will know that we love the Lord. The Lord will only the Lord can know, you know, it, by His supernatural knowledge to see so down deep in heart. But we won't know and nobody knows that we love the Lord. We have to say, Lord, this is how much I have. You know, I say it directly like that, and because the Lord said directly to Peter, and I want us to understand that that it is love that compels us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, 15 say this: for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die, and he died for all, that those who should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul said very direct connection here in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He said that the love of Christ compels us. How? When we understand that he died for us, we don't live for ourselves anymore. That's just a very basic component, basic equation of understanding resurrection life. You know Christ died for you, then you don't live for yourself after you understand that. And that's the very key. People say, Christ dies for me, and then they walk out living for themselves, and they ask the question, how come I don't feel the resurrection power? How come nothing happened in my life? Well, live for Christ, and something happened for you. Live for Christ where you are, and something happened for you. Next one, a heart to follow Christ in all. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. You know, sometimes we treat this as a separate section. After Jesus said, tend my sheep, he put a period there, and then that's it. No, this is his continued conversation to Peter. Peter, start where you are. But I got news for you. Starting where you are means you follow me. Starting where you are doesn't mean, hey, take me as I am and I remain where I am. You know, we have this strange notion in the church, like, you know, the Lord loves me as I am, and as long as I remain as I am, he continues to love me. Yeah, but that's not how, you know. Take me as I am, but I will follow you. And Christ said, when you follow me, you need to understand one thing. I will lead and you will follow. And you will follow me in all situations. That's what I said. You know, a heart to follow Christ in all. When you're young, maybe, you know, Peter, you're in control. You feel like you're in control. You will decide this and that, and you will walk here and there, and you do this wherever you wish. But as you follow me, as you deeper in the walk with me, in the service with me, Jesus said, you grow old, and not only in age, but I believe in faith and in commitment, somebody will guide you. You will give your hand, and they will lead you where you don't want to go. And then he explained. Now this, he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. They will lead you to death. They will bring you to the place where you die for me. You know, I think when Peter hears that, what do you think how do you think he feels? Happy or sad? I don't know. He didn't say here, but I would guess he would be so excited. If I were Peter, I would say, you know, I deny him. I rejected him. And all I can offer him is a little, you know, a bit of my heart that is so broken and so incomplete. But he will take me to the point. He will take me to the point of maturity, of commitment, of everything in me that I, when it comes to the time when I given another chance to stand up for Jesus, I will stand for Jesus. I will die for Jesus, and I will glorify him then. I'm not going to bring reproach to him. I will not bring shame to him anymore. He will make this happen in my life. He will change me to the point when it comes to me another chance. I will glorify him. I will stand up for him. I will die. You know, the little servant girl asked me a question, and I jumped and said, no, no, no. The doorkeeper asked me, and I denied Christ. No more. My life is not like that anymore. When I give Christ the brokenness of my life, the starting point where even I cannot begin, I have hope. I have a journey. I have a direction. I have a purpose. And he will accomplish in me what he set out to do all along, will make me a disciple, make me a servant, to the point I will die for my King, I will die for my Lord, I will honor him. And that is the journey he's calling you and me to go this morning. Not to perfect ourselves where we, you know, until then, Lord, then I'll do something. He said, no, you start with me now. Let me lead you. You follow me. I will make something out of you. I will transform your life. I will work God's glory in your life. And at the end, you will stand with me. Will you go that road? Because that is the road of resurrection. That is when the heart goes from dying and despondency and have no hope, no dream, and I'm go back fishing. My life with Christ is nothing. Nothing happened with me. No, something is going to happen with you. Something has happened because God wants to do it, and He promised to do it. But He wants to start with us this morning, with you and me this morning, and say, put that on the table with me right now. Put that on the table with me, for me right now, and start there with me, and say, you follow me. I'll do it for you. I'll lead you there. Peter didn't quite get that. He said, sure, I'll do it. And then he turned around and saw John. And this is just a side note, but it's very interesting. He saw John and you know, I think he loved John, and he just kind of a good nature guy. And he said, what about him, Lord? What about him? And Jesus said something pretty sternly. He said, who cares? Who cares about John? Let me deal with John the way I deal with John. You follow me. You put that on the table now. You don't say, I'll put it on the table if my friend put it on the table. I'll put it on the table if my group put it on the table. You know, if my girlfriend go with me, then I'll serve you. If something happened with me, if he said, no if but, start where you are. Put your life on the table for me. On the line for me. Walk with me. You follow me. Then your heart will change. Your life will change. Then you will know the life that I give for you. And this morning, let me ask you, call on you, appeal to you. Put your life on the line for Christ. Because if you don't, you go back fishing. You go back to nothingness. You will go back to insignificance. You go back to temporary nothingness, now and forever. Put that on the line for Christ and say, Lord, I can't even love you, but I know you. I belong to you. Start with me there and make me a disciple who will die for you and glorify your name. I want that life, Lord. I want the resurrection life, Lord. I don't want to monkey around anymore. Start with me because you have died for me. And He will. He will take you there. Let's stand. But you ask us if we love you. No, we don't, Lord. Not as we must. Not as we should. We can't even answer that question. Look at our lives. Look at where we are. But what a marvelous grace that where we are is where you want to begin with us this morning. So we thank you. Not only that you die for us, Lord, but you begin with us here. We are grateful, Lord. So we say to you, we do love you. We like you a lot. Take us. We pray in Jesus' name.